Meeting is now being recorded.
Welcome, everybody, to our CCT meeting number 76. And we will kick off the call shortly after I first ask if anyone has updates to their statements of interest. Okay, seeing none, then let's go through the agenda. So we are at the end of the end, hopefully, with regard to tying up all of the loose ends that we have for the final report. Today, we'll go around and give updates on the action items from last week. And
the host has left the meeting to speak with meeting support and will rejoin soon.
Sorry about that, Drew. Brenda is visiting with Carlton.
Oh, go ahead. No problem. Can I continue?
Yes, please.
Yes. Okay. Fantastic. Okay. So, after this meeting, we should then, just basically approve, these final edits if there, is not anything still outstanding. And then we have one item that, I know will likely still be outstanding that we'll need to wrap up this week. So, Jean-Baptiste, do you have any chance a status update for the things you put in last week's email for the action items?
Yes, Drew,
okay,
thank
great.
You. And in fact, the remaining action items are mostly assigned to David at this stage. And David, I'm happy to see you on this call. So those are the four action items that are currently open. Just after that, I would like also to review with each and everyone how the other action items that were assigned to you, Drew, and Jamie, and also to Jordan have been completed. So we'll look into that just after. But before we move on, I just wanted to ask quickly, David, whether there is already a new version for Recommendation 15.
Hi, Jean-Baptiste. So there isn't a new version. I've been through Jordan's. I think we're down to one last aspect from Jordan's last email, which I've been through, and I put in some thoughts, which I've pinged to Drew, for Drew to see whether he sees eye to eye with me, and then I was going to send that around leadership as soon as Drew sees eye to eye with me, if he does see eye to eye with me. So I don't know whether Drew does see eye to eye with me or whether you need a bit of time to look at that, Drew. And then hopefully we can send something round. But I think we're close. We've just got some wording, one sentence of wording. But I think we're differing on what we think that wording should be.
David, is there a possibility we can do that right now on this call?
Happy to try. Shall I? How can I do this? Drew, have you managed to read my email? I pinged you or not?
I'm just seeing it right now, the one from 3 hours ago. Yeah, okay.
Wow.
So I will look at that, so that way I can...
I'd just like to underline the one from last week, but I'll let you off.
Well, the one from last week didn't have solutions.
It did. It had exactly the same wording.
Oh.
Anyway, not to worry.
And Drew and David, if there is something that can help the discussion on today's call, something we can project, if you can send that to me and to Brenda so that we can project it.
Okay, let me see. Is Jordan on the call? Are you on the call, Jordan?
He's in the recording.
Yeah, for now.
Okay, cool. I saw you said you couldn't make it, so I thought it was a bit pointless just discussing it if you couldn't make it. But if you are on, then that's helpful.
Yeah, I may have to drop off soon.
Okay, I shall. Let me send this then. I'm trying to think, how can I send this to... Right, let me... Should I email this to you?
Yes,
Jean-Baptiste? Okay, and then you can project it.
Thank you.
Lucky I've got email today. Mm-hmm. Okay, you should have got that, or it should be winging its way to you.
Thank you.
I'll try that again. It doesn't seem to have gone. Okay, that's gone again. I've just replied in the chain, so we've got you've got Jordan's comments as well. So I just went back to his email. As opposed to the one I circulated to you, Drew. So you'll get the same one there. Otherwise, we might talk at cross purposes.
Okay. And right now, David, do you want to go over the other action items while we're waiting to discuss the DNS abuse?
I can do. Yeah, I haven't read them.
Okay.
So I see them. I've got the email now, which I'm looking at. So do you want me to just read them now? These are fairly minor, I think it said, Tom Baptiste.
So I've just received your email. Is that okay to project that on screen?
Yeah, fine.
Okay. Just one sec. There you go, David.
There it is. Okay, super. I don't know where the best place to start is. Am I scrolling this for everybody now?
You can if you should be a presenter right now. It's not on, but I can make you a presenter. Is that better?
Okay, it might be easier, and I can point to what I suppose what I'm talking about. So.
Sure. There you go.
Okay, super, thanks. So I suppose just to backtrack a little bit, this is the new, here's recommendation 15, the new one, which is what Drew and I put together and sent that to Jordan, and Jordan's comments are in red here. So we've agreed all of these apart from one. So it's there. And I don't know how many people have read the recommendation 15B, so I just go to the modifications, or do we need time to read the full recommendation? Was that covered on the call last week? Because I wasn't on that.
I wasn't on that call either. Jean-Baptiste, do you know, was this discussed at all on last week's call?
No, since David was not there, we haven't. What was mentioned on the last call was that the two recommendations, 15 and 17, were merged based on discussion on Penal Code 74, and that you were currently discussing with Jordan on a new version.
Okay, so I'll just give a very brief high-level recap, and then David, you can kind of dive into where we are. And then we can go through this with Jordan. So the big high-level recap is that there were previously two recommendations, both of which went out for public comment, one of which was calling for a method for ICANN compliance to go after systemic abuse, and another recommendation that had the same goal, but was proposing the creation of a dispute resolution mechanism to also help accomplish that goal. And after much discussion with Jordan and with others, we decided that it would probably be best to consolidate the two recommendations into one, where the overarching problems that both were seeking to address was identified. And then we came up with more clear criteria as to when an investigation into systemic abuse should be triggered and how it should be addressed to prevent what we saw in the DNS abuse report with regard to these operators with such high levels of abuse that you know, there's no excuse essentially for it occurring, particularly with what the community identified as being potential problems with the expansion of the new GTLD program. And so then what we're down to is with the combined language, how we word the extent to which a dispute resolution mechanism, the DADRP, should be considered by the community as a supplement or a complement to enhanced powers with ICANN compliance. And so David and I drafted a modified version of this recommendation based on the feedback we got a couple weeks ago. And this incorporated Carlton's feedback and Jordan's feedback and one-off feedback we got from a few others. And where we're at now is we sent this out, and then Jordan had feedback on the way in which we reference the need or the potential for a DADRP. And so that's the language we're down to. So then in response to Jordan's email with his proposed new language, then David has written back proposed new language. And I think that's pretty much the recap, David, if you want to take it from there and add anything.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. Yeah, that's right. So, I mean, effectively, we've, as you say there, we blended it. So if I skim down here, we blended it, and this is the email agency to leadership, et cetera. We took out the idea of an independent advocate, which is something which we'd suggested. We brought in the double threshold, which is something Jordan had suggested, which we think is very good. And so we've got rid of the DADRP as a standalone recommendation, which I know is some, Jordan was quite feeling quite strongly about that. So that's gone. It's combined together. And Jordan's pretty happy with the combined. So this is the combined. This is the combined text, recommendation 15B. So all the blues agreed, and the small modifications of Jordan was this: if to the extent ICANN may be ill-suited or unable to enforce, so it changes if the community determines that ICANN org is itself ill-suited or unable to enforce. So I'm good with that. The prerequisite, we've got a prerequisite in there, provisions to address systemic DNS security abuse should be included in the baseline contract for any future new GTLDs. So that was a modification of Jordan in, so we're good with that. And then, in addition, the specific DADRP should be considered to the extent the community concludes that ICANN compliance is there, and such procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint. So this is the only bit here which I don't agree with, and I think, so what I've done in this, going up, just concentrate on that sole language. Sorry, I don't know what's all over the place scrolling here. I can't seem to stop it. Okay. So this was the original language. I put such a procedure could apply where ICANN compliance is unable to resolve a complaint relating to DNS security abuse and the registry operators or registrars are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. And Jordan's preferred wording was such procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS abuse and the registry operators or registrars are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. So I've put together some combination language, which I thought covered both of those because there's a slightly different aspect in there, where compliance is unable to resolve a complaint for whatever reason that may be, or where they're not the right body to do so. So the suggested language there is such a procedure could apply where ICANN compliance is either unable to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse or where it may not be the right body to do so in the circumstances. And then, Jordan, you'd come back and you'd said that you thought if we think ICANN compliance is the right body to resolve these things, then we don't need a DRP, which is where I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think there are situations which we may not be thinking of where it's not the right body or they're ill-suited to do so. But I think the language which I was proposing captures it. So my proposal there, instead of three, was we match the language elsewhere in the recommendation where we say that if the community determines that ICANN.org is ill-suited or unable to enforce such provisions, we just match that. So proposed language would be, such a procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse or is ill-suited or unable to do so, and the registry operators or registrars are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. And that matches the ill-suited or unable to do so is what's matching, if I scroll down, the rest of the, now, if the community determines that ICANN itself is ill-suited or unable to enforce. So I'm just tracking that language and hoping that that works. If that works for you, then that recommendation is good to go.
Yeah, hi, David. It's Jordan. So just to reiterate, my concern here is, my concern here is strictly, like, I think the community needs to decide in advance whether, what the right forum to adjudicate these disputes are. We can decide that, like, ICANN compliance is the right place to do it, in which case, that's fine. Then ICANN compliance will need to staff up and build the capability to resolve these issues. Or, like we did with URS and UDRP and PICDRP, we can say, oh, you know what? This is not the sort of issue that ICANN compliance is really equipped to deal with. So when these sorts of disputes arise, then we'll have a third party deal with it. What I'm not comfortable with at all is deciding halfway through, sort of saying, oh, well, sort of look at it, and ICANN compliance will look at it, and they'll say, you know what, this one, or like ICANN will try, and they'll come to a conclusion, and then someone else will decide, oh, never mind, that was a bad decision, ICANN, we're going to, like, complain about it outside of the usual accountability channels, but, like, there's a special accountability just for DNS abuse that then gets invoked. And so it's the or in your sentence that is problematic for me. I think if we just changed it to say such a procedure could apply if ICANN compliance was not the right body to resolve a complaint, that would be fine. Or, you know, like I just, the concern is just like where we say, where it seems like we decide in real time whether or not a dispute gets routed to ICANN or to the DADRP. I think the community should decide in advance, and there should be a procedure. It should not just be like, oh, we got halfway through resolving something and decided it needed to go one way versus the other.
Yeah. As I said, I can see you just don't want any possibility of that happening, and this language would potentially allow it. But for me, I think that's where I have a problem in that language, because as you then conclude in your email earlier, or later on, as you say, well, if ICANN compliance doesn't, I can't remember what it was now, where is it? I'm sorry, I'm lost there. If we think ICANN compliance is the right body to resolve these things, we don't need a DRP. So effectively, I know you don't want a DRP. So I can see where the community will go with this, with the registrars, registries. It's very clear ICANN's the right body, so we don't need a DRP. Let's get rid of it. So I'm not happy with that.
So I don't think that's obvious at all. Like, there's plenty of precedents that we just talked about. URS, UDRP, PICDRP, PDDRP. There's a bunch of things where the community's decided that ICANN is not the right body to resolve those concerns, in which case you need a DRP. But there's literally, David, you can find a single precedent for there being a two-track mechanism within ICANN, then I feel like this is a more reasonable conversation to have. But there are other DRPs, but they're all known from the outset. That's the procedure you use for that type of complaint. There's no circumstance in which you get, like, partway through a process and then say, oh, you know what? I didn't like what ICANN did there. I'm going to have a and there is, like, a general purpose, right? There's, like, reconsideration requests. There's IRPs. There's generalized mechanisms to say, I wasn't happy with what ICANN did in that particular scenario. You don't need a special DRP to deal with that. But there's literally no process where there's a third-party dispute resolution procedure that is either ICANN or that. It's like partway through. It's like from the outset you know which of those two procedures you're going to go through. And I'm actually totally fine either way. I don't care if there's a DRP. If that's the way that the community's decided to do things, I'm also fine with it being ICANN if that's how the community decided. I'm just not fine with it being indeterminate for each particular complaint.
So are you just wanting the or out of that then? Is that two characters is what you're wanting out? Is that what the problem is? Because the wording I've tracked, we've got earlier, if the community determines that ICANN.org itself is ill-suited or unable to enforce such a provision, and that's elsewhere in the recommendation, you're okay with that. It's just this last one. And now I've tracked that wording. So the only difference is that or that I can see, which might
yes,
even be
exactly. A it's the or.
So such a procedure.
Yeah, so if there's something like.
We're not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse itself. Is ill-suited or unable to do so, and then you're fine.
I mean, I would probably just say, to use the language that we used earlier, such a procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse because the community has determined that it is ill-suited, right? Like, that would be fine. Instead of or, say because the community determines, that would be totally fine.
All right, body to resolve a complaint. It didn't seem to do it. The community determines that ICANN.org itself is ill-suited or unable to enforce such positions. I'm just trying to understand sort of the ramifications of the difference and what one would catch and what one doesn't catch. And I suppose your main concern is a procedure where ICANN compliance is, I mean, I don't think they'd stop and say we're ill-suited, but I can see ICANN compliant. You're saying you don't want a DADRP to be used where ICANN compliance has made a decision. Is that what you're saying?
I don't want a special DADRP just for this if ICANN compliance has made a determination. That's right. I want there to be a source of truth, right? Like, if you know if there's going to be a fight about DNS abuse, that you either go to ICANN or you go to this other body, and that's whoever decides, that's the correct outcome, right? Or not correct, but that's the agreed upon like, forum. And there's no ambiguity and like uncertainty that like that might not be the right forum. Now, obviously, there's existing, like I said, there's like reconsideration requests in IRP. If you're not like happy with the outcome, there's accountability mechanisms to go back and sort of say, hey, that was a wrong decision. It just shouldn't be like a special procedure just for DNS abuse to second guess ICANN compliance.
So I guess that's where we do have a fundamental disagreement on it then, because I think it should be there. Because I think it's too easy for registries that the solution you're proposing effectively is the wording will be in the contract, trust us, it'll all be fine, just like it wasn't in 2012, because it wasn't fine, which is why we're looking at the abuse today that exists, because the contract provisions which were negotiated then were not suitable to deal with this abuse. So we have to trust that the new contract provisions will be suitable, and that was the whole point about the DADRP for me, was that if they are suitable, and I put that in writing, then the DADRP is pointless because the contractual provisions do what they say on the tin and they work and they haven't been negotiated out of having any sort of power for compliance. So in that sense, you would never use the DADRP. But my argument on this would be that the DADRP would be something which would be brought in 5 years' time if we find that the contractual provisions, which we have no control over, are then not sufficient for compliance to take action. If compliance is the ones taking action and we discover that those actions are not able to take down the DNS abuse, then we're saying, or you're saying there, that the DADRP wouldn't be able to be used. So to my mind, it's defunct and we delete it. We just leave it to you and ICANN to discuss and have another round of negotiations. Registries, and it's in, you know, and we just have to cross our fingers that this time you'll do it right, and I think that's unsatisfactory.
Well, so now I think we're back to what Jamie was concerned about last time. It's too bad he's not here. But there always has to be contractual language that's going to be enforced, right? Like, it can't be the registries, like, sign up for a contract, and then people are like, well, we don't like the contract that you signed. Like, I'm now going to file a dispute against you because you're doing the things that you agreed to, but I want you to do other stuff. Like, no one's, like, obviously no registry or registrar is ever going to be comfortable signing up for an environment where they're potentially a hook for things they didn't agree to in the first place. So there always has to be language in the contract that's the basis for the dispute. Just like there's rules for UDRP, right? Like, it's not like someone gets to go through a UDRP and then say, well, you know what? Even though I couldn't prove bad faith, I think it's unreasonable. You know, there's a lot of trademark abuse that doesn't have bad faith. Like, we shouldn't have put that in the UDRP in the first place. So I just get to file dispute and take down domains, even though I can't prove bad faith, because I don't like the fact that's a provision that's in the UDRP procedure, right? Like, obviously the community would have to agree on a new procedure and not just have, like, some ability to, like, change the rules of UDRP on the fly. And the same thing should apply here, right? Like, we should agree on what the rules are, and then there's a question of who should enforce it. And I'm pretty agnostic as to, like, I agree that if ICANN exists, ICANN Compliance owns compliance for the issue, then DADRP isn't useful. The whole point here is we could say, you know what, ICANN Compliance isn't the right body. Let's just shunt all this stuff to the DADRP. You know, we need technical experts or people who really understand DNS security abuse to resolve it. Just like for trademark disputes, we need trademark experts to resolve it. That's fine. The system that you're describing terrifies me, where ICANN and the registries and registrars agree to something, that gets properly enforced, and then people are just like, oh, well, you guys did it wrong, bad contract, now we're just gonna, you know, have disputes anyways and take away your registry, even though you're doing everything that's described in the contract. That seems crazy. Why would anyone ever agree to do that?
It goes to the heart of the difficulties which are faced. And I mean, if we look at the registrar accreditation agreement, which is an issue which we have with, and the Article 318(1) in that, where you've got a registrar is obliged under contract to take reasonable and prompt steps to investigate and respond appropriately to any reports of abuse. Now, I don't know who negotiated and how that negotiation went and where that word came from, but you do notice that it doesn't say anything about taking any action whatsoever to abuse. So that negotiation, to me, as an outside lawyer, looks inadequate, and that clause looks inadequate to deal with abuse. But that was what was negotiated. So either it's very clever negotiation to avoid any need to do it, but that is something we come up against weekly. And we cannot do anything about it because a registrar will not deal with this abuse, the abuse which we've identified in this CCT review team. And the registrars ignore it. And I have some clients who are happy to pay large amounts of money, but the bulk of clients just wave their arms and going, it's a sham between the registrars and the registries. That I hear daily, if not weekly. And if you look at some of the registrar terms and conditions, you'll see that they state in their terms and conditions that they will not consider abuse complaints. So separate to their agreement, they will not consider abuse complaints. So you end up in a very difficult situation and you go to ICANN Compliance. So already you're writing to the registrar and then you're arguing with them and then they get nasty back. Then you go to ICANN Compliance, or you threaten you'll go to ICANN Compliance. I could show you at least half a dozen emails from registrars where they laugh at me, quote, they will never do anything they never do. I'll share those emails if you want me to start sharing. That is the view, and I think that's a sorry state of affairs for us to be in. if that's the view of registrars. And one of the more recent ones, the question is, do we now take it to ICANN compliance? But on previous ones with ICANN compliance have said that it's been investigated and they've responded and they can do no more. So there we have the predicament. So there's a contract negotiated, but it doesn't do what it says on the tin or what it should do or the intention of what we should, as a CCT review team, want it to do, because we want to be able to deal with that abuse. So that's why this idea of a DADRP is a backup, that if for any reason that situation reoccurs, then there is the possibility to go to the DADRP and somebody there who's a third party adjudicator says, yes, this is actually unsatisfactory and this is clear abuse, because we're talking 10% or 30 or 40% of this registry, which is full of abuse. And for some reason, we don't know what it is, ICANN compliance hasn't been able to do it or do whatever they've been able to do, or not been able to do, sorry. So they then look at it. So I think it's a strength to have that as an option. And the strength hopefully is that it will never be used, because we'll have a contractual provisions in place which do not say the equivalent of the registrar or the registry has to take steps to investigate and respond. And that's it. Because that doesn't help us. That's why we've got some 50% of domain name abuse, because there's no way of stopping them. Otherwise, ICANN today would have taken those down, wouldn't they? They wouldn't be here now. And they've been around 2.5 years since we've been doing the CCT review team report. So how do we deal with that? We're back to the same question. So the DADRP was another means for us to have a bash at doing it. So that's why I think we're in agreement with all that recommendation 15, the whole text there. I just feel quite strongly on that last point. I think that last phrase is the true intent, that it's there, it's an option, and it's for the community to decide. If the community decides they don't want it, then we won't have a DADRP. And if there's a vote and there's a certain dominance in one way and other people are told to be quiet, then that's it. But at least we've said we think it should be there, and we can't make it be there, but we can say we think it's a good idea that something is there as a backup or an alternative. So, as I said, that's why I think the wording there works, because it's if the community determines that ICANN.org itself is ill-suited or unable. It's the ill-suited or unable. It's either of those. If they can't do that to enforce such provisions, then this is where it would come in. But if they are well-suited, because there's great contractual provisions in there, or if they're able to, then this would never be used. And I hope it never is used, because then we'll have a good, clean DNS set going forward.
Thank you, David. We have a queue, and we have Carlton, then Jordan, I believe, and then Jamie.
Thank you. I hope you're hearing me. We have a situation that we're trying to, as I understand it, to address. There is no doubt that compliance today is configured to look at abuse in the singular form, and however many of them they look at them singly and separately. We have seen where there is serial abuse, and the feeling is that those who commit repeated and serial abuse, there should be some sanction against them. And that is the reason for the DADRP. That's my understanding of what we're trying to accomplish. What Jamie has said is that there has to be in the contract some element that says you have broken the contract and therefore we need to go to the sanctions route. That is where the level and type of abuse coming to place. So somewhere in that contract, we're saying we have to put in the contract notice to the contracted party that if you go beyond this level of abuse or you attract this level of sanction, then we are going to use another dispute mechanism to gather some results. If we can just put that in plainly, I think it will work. What I thought was missing was what Jamie pointed out. You have to have an actionable, some action associated with some kind of level in the contract that people can say, oh, you're in violation of this, and this is where we have to go. I thought if we put that in, we should be all right. Am I getting this wrong?
Why don't I think Jordan might be responding in the text, so maybe let's move on to Jamie, and then I see Jordan has his hand up again, so let's do Jamie next.
Sorry, technical difficulties. I've already put my what I was. So first of all, apologies for joining late. And I already put my response in the chat. I missed the beginning of the thing, but if the issue is there has to be justification for a dispute to go to a DRP, that's currently not the way it works now. And I know of one PIC DRP where the complainant specifically asked for it to go to a DRP, and so it did. To go to a panel, and in another one where compliance on its own gave it to a panel to resolve. So I'm not sure, apart from the issue whether or not there should be a DRP in this instance to deal with DNS abuse, I don't know that it's really necessary to have any language setting the grounds for when something could go to a DRP.
Thanks, Jamie, and thanks, Carlton, for your previous comments. Jordan, are you next, or is that an old hand, and is Calvin next?
I think I'm next.
Okay, go ahead.
So I just want to sort of reiterate what I said in chat, which is like Carlton has described the problem perfectly, which is the reason why no one is dealing with systemic abuse today is because there is no contractual requirement to deal with systemic abuse today. So we need to fix that, right? Like, I think we all agree that's bad. It's bad that the current model is fixated on individual instances of abuse. It's bad, I think, for two reasons. Number one, because registries in particular and registrars to a lesser extent can't do very much about individual instances of abuse. And registries in particular are a terrible forum to deal with abuse, because they have no relationship whatsoever with the people engaging in the abuse. However, I think we all agree that when you see like 5%, 10%, 30% abuse, that's not because like there's a bad guy or like a series of bad guys in a TLD, and they're just totally overwhelming the registry's ability to deal with it. That's because the registry has made some choices that are encouraging systemic abuse. And so it would be great if there was an expectation that registries had an obligation to not make those choices and to actively work against systemic abuse. And if that expectation existed, then we wouldn't get into the situation, like on the one hand, it wouldn't solve David's problem of like an individual complaint not being resolved by a registrar. But on the other hand, if there is an expectation that at 10% abuse, there's a default that you're like not doing it right and you're in breach of your contract unless you can prove otherwise, like that puts a really high burden on registries and registrars to not get into that situation and to be able to demonstrate what they're doing if they ever do get into that situation. And so the like discussion of the DRP is like, I feel like, is largely a sideshow, right? Which is like the reason why we're not happy today is because the contractual model is wrong. Like Carlton just pointed this out. Like we're fixated on trying to like play whack-a-mole and not looking at the systemic abuse problems at all. There's literally no provision in any contract for ICANN compliance or anyone else to resolve the issue. And so let's add that, and hopefully that will fix the problem. Now, if your concern is, like, ICANN compliance, like, sucks with their job, and they're not, like, enforcing the contracts properly, like, there's a whole separate process for, like if that's really what we think the problem is, then we should be having recommendations to, like, whatever, Jamie should be fired, or, like, at the end of the day, the community, ICANN org is accountable to the community, right? Like, we elect the board of directors. The board of directors, like, decides who the CEO is, just like in any organization. And if we think that ICANN org is doing a bad job, we should use accountability mechanisms and the fact that, you know, we do elect the board of directors in order to, like, actually hold the org accountable and make them do a good job. But I don't think that's the problem. The problem is not that Jamie is bad at his job. The problem is the contract doesn't say anything about systemic abuse. So if we think that's a problem, then we should fix the contract. And then I don't care about the DRP. Like, we can choose one. At Jamie's point, like, the PIC DRP process is fine, right? Like, it has elements for both compliance and a DRP, and a third-party DRP involved. But basic ICANN compliance initially vets the request, and then if it looks like it's a substantial, you know, it's a meaningful dispute, then they can pass it on to a DRP. That's fine. That's predictable in advance. I just don't think we – it's impossible to imagine registries and registrars ever being comfortable with a system where we say, let's agree on contractual language, but if the result of the contractual language that's agreed upon between ICANN and the registries and registrars makes the community unhappy, then there's some other random people that just get to decide that the registries or registrars are doing a bad job and take away their accreditation. It's like a total, you can do business like that. No one would ever be expected in any other industry to do business where we say, okay, here's the rules that you need to operate under, but if, like, some set of people get angry, then we're going to have some dispute resolution procedure that has nothing to do with the contract you signed, and we're just going to be able to take away your livelihood. That doesn't make any sense. Doesn't have any precedent anywhere else. Doesn't have any precedent in any procedure today. And, like, that's not the way we should think about this. We should think about it as, how do we look at the problem in the contracts today? Let's fix that, and then let's figure out the right enforcement mechanism for it.
Thanks, Jordan. And I'll have comments about your comments and other comments after Calvin speaks. So, Calvin, you're next up.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was biting to say something there as you're speaking. I've been on the receiving end of ICANN compliance, both as a registry and a registrar. And, you know, I listened to David's, exchange of emails with absolute, I'm not sure what the word is, incredulous. I just find it extremely, extremely interesting that people have that attitude. And that's because of how I've experienced ICANN compliance. My view and my experience has been that they start the process, and that process needs to get stopped by you coming into compliance. And you have to demonstrate through various means that you're in compliance. And once that process stops, a countdown timer is almost set running. And you know, very early on in that thing, you are, and I'm going to probably use the wrong words, but let me go that way. You're threatened with EBRO and things like that, and dire straits and so forth. So I find it extremely interesting that people say, well, ICANN compliance would be useless, because where we have, and I don't want to use the word broken contractual things, but where we get into situations where contractual could be broken, I found them to be very effective to a point of almost being overbearing or something like that. It's like, what the hell is going on here? You know, what have we brought upon ourselves? So as far as I'm concerned, if you're looking for an effective organizer or an effective department, being on the receiving end of compliance, I would say that they seem fairly effective to from my point of view and from my experience. But of course, it does help if they can have some contractual language to work to. If they don't have that, then obviously they can't do anything. Anyway, my two cents.
Thank you, Calvin. Does anybody else have any other commentary? Because otherwise I can kind of jump in with some of my responses. Okay, so I agree with everything that has been said. I don't think any of it's actually all that incompatible with this language right here. So definitely there's a diversion of opinions over, you know, what a DADRP could look like if adopted by the community and whatnot. But I don't see the current language with the or as being anything that, is going to really affect that outcome to the detriment, where this still wouldn't need to be grounded in some sort of contractual mechanism that creates it, and some sort of community mechanism that, in fact, adopts it. So I think that, as a whole, we obviously all agree with the problem that was identified with systemic abuse. We agree that it needs to be tackled through changes to the contracts themselves, and that ICANN compliance needs to be empowered, and there seems to be open-mindedness, at least, to a DADRP being a mechanism if, in fact, it is not the case that ICANN compliance can tackle this alone. If ICANN compliance can tackle this alone, then it seems that there's consensus that there is not a need for a DADRP. And so what we're attempting to do with this recommendation is just not be, box ourselves into the future when we know that it could be that ICANN compliance is adequately staffed, that the language is proper and that it works fine, or it could be that it might not be, and that we're end up in a situation very similar to where we're at now. So with this sentence, I see David has now added something in the chat about losing the or. All right, so the sentence reads, so David has proposed getting rid of the or and changing the sentence so that it reads, such a procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse. I think there's a typo, David. Maybe there's supposed to be an and or something, or an or.
There was an or, but I've taken the or out, so I'm just tracking the wording elsewhere.
Oh. Do you want to read what you intend for that to say, maybe real quick? Because, yeah, grammatically it's not making
sense. We're getting down in the weeds, and it's very difficult, this, but it's no, I've taken out the or, which Jordan didn't like.
Are you punishing people with grammar?
Well, no, I'm just taking out the or, so, because it looks to me, it could read that way. Such a procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse, is ill-suited or unable to do so, which is the wording we've got elsewhere. So I've taken out the or that Jordan didn't like, but then it doesn't quite work grammatically, which is the only reason I put the or in there in the first place, because I thought that kept that sentence correct grammatically. And I just suggested the bit there which Jamie had put in there, that ICANN compliance themselves can refer a case to the DADRP, which, as in with the PICDRP, which I think is very valuable. And again, I wasn't wanting to go into the details here as to try and say we can do this, we can do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. It was trying to be fairly open, so that when somebody looks at this, hopefully, they then start saying and looking at it and saying, okay, this is the situation where it would apply. We're not prescribing anything.
Right, yeah, because I guess Jamie's point, even though, and Jamie, I do not intend to put words in your mouth, but Jamie's point about the fact that we would not need to be overly prescriptive in telling the community how the DADRP would work or under the strict conditions over which something could be referred or not referred. The first several sentences of this paragraph already basically do that work of saying that we think a DADRP should be considered. So this final sentence should just be helpful to the community, and that should be, I think, our overall intention is when they wonder how are we thinking about a DADRP existing, this sentence just needs to include enough language to conceptualize that without being overly prescriptive, because as Jordan was pointing out, it needs to be grounded in some sort of actual legal basis and contractual language. And as you've pointed out, David, we can't think of every scenario in which a DADRP would be useful, and that's part of why we're actually proposing it, because we've seen the ways in which other dispute resolution mechanisms have been useful. I see that there's a few responses in the chat right now. Let's see. Okay, I mean, I think we're pretty much all in overall agreement if we can just figure out this sentence itself. Let's see, Jordan has just sent a new proposed sentence. What do you think of Jordan's proposed language? I'll read it. I don't know if you've seen that, but it looks like we're making some headway between the two of you going back and forth with this. All right, so Jordan just proposed, such a procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse because the community determines it is ill-suited or unable to do so, and registry operators or registrars are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. Alternatively, it may be useful for compliance to be able to refer a case to the DADRP. Do you have a reaction to that, David?
I'm just trying to scroll down and read it. Yeah, I think
it's hard to scroll when everybody keeps typing, but then we want people to keep typing so we keep having good time.
Exactly, yeah. And
then Adobe Connect fault.
So like, I want to make the chat bigger now. I want to make the chat big so I can sort of sit on the corner here because I can't. Okay, I'm scrolling now. It's working better.
And to Jamie's point, I think Jamie brought up this great point, which I was making earlier, so that means I was not putting words in Jamie's mouth, which is good, is that already in this paragraph, we already make enough of a recommendation that a DADRP should be considered. So that's why, to the extent we even have this final sentence, I think it should be just something that's a useful guide. Since that final sentence is really coming down to this back and forth between you and Jordan with some of the feedback we've gotten from others being incorporated into that, I guess, let me know what you think about Jordan's latest language, which includes two sentences.
So I think when we drill down onto it here, the ill-suited or unable, I suppose the language there throughout the rest of the recommendation is, I would agree with that, the community determines that ICANN compliance is ill-suited to deal with it. The or unable is ICANN compliance being unable to do it. So that would tie in to Jamie and what Jamie had said, and Jordan, what you propose at the end there. So you then say, alternatively, it may be useful for ICANN compliance to be able to refer a case to DADRP, which would be the point when ICANN were unable to. So I think all the words are there, and I think we're very close. If the community determines it ill-suited, or ICANN compliance determines it's unable to do so, again, I wasn't being prescriptive, so by my wording there of saying ill-suited or unable, it was not overthinking things. They're either ill-suited or unable. Some scenario arrives where they're ill-suited or unable to do so. But if we want to make it specific that the community determines that they're ill-suited and ICANN compliance feels that they're unable to do so, then yes, it may be useful for compliance to be able to refer a case to DADRP. If we can capture that, I'm okay.
Are you suggesting using Jordan's exact wording but just adding the words community? So such a procedure could apply if the community determines ICANN compliance?
Well, Jordan's already got that in. He's got the because the community determines it is ill-suited. So there I would suggest putting in or ICANN compliance. But again, I think we kind of...
Well, he has a sentence about ICANN compliance potentially being able to refer cases. Because he now has
the end.
Two sentences. Yeah.
But the way it's set out now, we've got because the community determines. So that how is the community... It's getting, because we're getting into we're trying to be very specific now, so it's difficult.
Right. But my sense really is that this sentence should really just be a guide to the community when they're considering, when the board and others are considering our policy recommendation, and they're trying to figure out what our intent was and what the purported goal was and what the means to accomplish it were, that these sentences kind of serve as a guide of what we were picturing with the DADRP. And where we have consensus is, because we seem to have complete consensus as a team, that if ICANN compliance is doing a great job, then ICANN compliance can keep doing a great job, can handle this. But a DADRP might be useful where that is not the case. And obviously we're debating how to define where that's not the case, but regardless, we're seeing this as a mechanism that can help with the same goal. So I think that either we completely drop this sentence in this whole area from the paragraph, or I like Jordan's proposed language and I like what you're saying. So if there's something where, which I don't think are different actually at this point. So if there's something where you want to just copy and paste what Jordan has and word it slightly differently with what you're thinking, then we can consider that. But I think we're almost there if we want to keep this language or keep a form of this language.
Yeah, I suppose my concern with the insertion of where we have ICANN, the ICANN community is determining something. I'm not sure how they're able to determine whether ICANN compliance is view of a particular complaint is it seems to be an overall brush of saying we'll punt this back to the community because the community of registrars and registries will agree it this way, and that's the problem. I think it's more of a ICANN compliance thinking they're not able to deal with it for whatever reason. So that's why I like the addition there where you've got in Jordan about bringing in ICANN compliance. It may be useful for ICANN compliance to be able to refer a case to DADRP. I think that would be a very that's fully the intention in my view. If ICANN compliance can't do something, they say, well, we just can't do this. We want somebody independent to look at it because we don't know what reasonable is. So, I mean, and the example on that, when I mentioned that clause before, the registrar agreement clause where you've got that 318(1) where it says the registrar shall take reasonable and prompt steps to investigate and respond appropriately to reports of any abuse, a registrar doesn't have to do anything. So what's appropriate? That becomes a question which is for a court or a dispute panel to say, well, appropriate is not an out-of-office reply. Appropriate is actioning or doing something, not saying we've looked at it and we don't find any abuse. So I think that's the difference, and that's where you ICANN compliance could go to a DADRP and pass it on, in the same as a PIC-DRP.
Right. So I think that final sentence perhaps encompasses that, unless you want to slightly modify that. Jordan has his hand up. So, Jordan, why don't you jump in?
Yeah, so, Drew, you just said something that made me a little nervous, which is I think we all agree that the community can decide that we should deal with systemic abuse. and that the community can decide that ICANN compliance is the right forum to resolve. I don't think I agree, and I don't know what other people agree, that the DADRP should be viewed as like a Jamie is doing his job badly, therefore we get a second bite at the apple in order to solve problems, right? Like what I think is totally reasonable. Like I think we all agree on at least one thing, which is there should be contractual language that addresses systemic abuse, right? So that's issue one. I think we all agree on that. And then I agree that as part of deciding to how to implement that contractual language, the community can decide that ICANN's the right forum, that DADRP is the right forum, that there's some mechanism by which ICANN starts, and then if they feel like they're out of their depth, they can refer it to a DRP. But I strongly, strongly disagree that there should be a special mechanism just for DNS abuse where third parties can decide, oh, I don't think ICANN abuse, ICANN compliance is doing a good job, therefore, I want to be able to separately initiate an alternative dispute resolution process, right? Because we don't have that anywhere else, and we have other proper accountability mechanisms that the community's built up, and I feel like that's solving like a totally separate problem. If we think that compliance is doing a bad job, we should fix the fact that compliance is doing a bad job, not try to create an alternative dispute resolution mechanism. So Drew, you just said like, oh, we want to have this as a backup if we think ICANN compliance can't do it. And I think that's true if we agree in advance they can't do it. I don't think it should be a backup like on the fly to say like, oh, I didn't like that decision. I'm going to second guess it.
Yeah, my comment was not implying that there, or did not intend to imply that there's consensus that there should be forum shopping. That was not at all the intent of the comment. I meant we have consensus that we need to fix this problem, and then we have consensus that we're going to mention a DADRP as a potential means as part of the solution to this problem. But I don't disagree that obviously, like with any dispute resolution system, you would have to have the procedures and the applicability and then the legal basis for it in advance before it would be used. It wouldn't be an on-the-fly system. So I don't disagree with anything you just said, and sorry if I my language was broad or something and implied something else, but that's not what I intended. I see David's hand up.
Yeah, thanks. I think I forgot what I was going to say now. I suppose I'm just looking – conceptually, I'm trying to understand how this is so different to a PIC-DRP or the PDDRP. So maybe I need to get my head around those aspects because, as far as I can see in the contracts, correct me if I'm wrong, we're not supposed to have trademark abuse and allow trademark abuse, but we still have a UDRP which can be brought in and used by third parties to an independent panel. Is that statement incorrect? Am I wrong in some way here?
So David, this is the point I keep making. Yes, but you don't first go to ICANN compliance and then say, and then they resolve it, they try to resolve it, and then they say, oh, you know what? They make a decision, and then you say, well, I didn't like that decision. I'm going to, like, use another DRP instead, right? Like, you decide in advance. Like, you've decided ICANN compliance is not the right forum to resolve trademark complaints. Instead, we're going to allow experts to resolve trademark complaints, and so when you start a UDRP, you know you're going to go to a trademark body. When you start when you start a PIC DRP, there's a procedure. You start with ICANN compliance. It can go to a DRP, but ICANN vets it first. And then ICANN, either based on the request of the complainant or ICANN itself, they can refer it out. But it's not like you make a PIC DRP complaint and then ICANN resolves it. And then you're like, oh, never mind. I didn't like that outcome. You guys are bad at your jobs. Let's refer it out now. Right, so it's totally fine to have a procedure that builds in a third-party dispute mechanism in order to deal with matters that ICANN is not, ICANN compliance is like not the right body to resolve. I think we all agree on that. It's just like the only complication is when you say, oh, well, I want to have contractual language, I want ICANN compliance to do it, but then if I don't like the outcome, then I'm going to get grumpy and go to this other DRP instead. That's the only like issue I have.
Thanks. And I suppose I don't look at it as clear-lined and black and white as that, because I can think of many occasions where we would consider for the same fact scenario going to ICANN compliance or filing a UDRP. And they're not mutually exclusive in any way. And we may go to ICANN compliance, they won't do anything about it, and then we'll file a UDRP and win it. But that doesn't preempt us. The fact that ICANN is compliance, you can use a mix and a match of different things, and you try and find the most appropriate one in all the circumstances for the infringement or the abuse you're looking at.
I mean, I would seriously hope that if you went to ICANN compliance and said, I have a trademark dispute about this domain, they would say, well, that's what UDRP is for, because there's literally an explicit mechanism for that. I mean, I agree there may be other things going on in the domain that
there's a mixture of everything going on. And, you know, I just sort of identify again, one of the first things we spoke about when we were doing the CCT review, and you might remember that, was the PDDRP and how that came about. And the example which I mentioned on one of our first meetings was when we were instructed to deal with a registry operator who was running a TLD, and I won't bother mentioning which one, but that registry operator had registered via a third party 25,000 domain names which infringed, mostly trademark infringement, not necessarily all, but of the 25,000 names, most of them were trademark infringement. One of our clients, a very small one, got caught up in that and said, why on earth are we registered, or someone registered us under this top-level domain? We went to ICANN compliance, who didn't do anything. We filed a UDRP. The result of the UDRP was got the domain name transferred and 24,999 domain names cancelled. So there is an example which is 10 years old, and that is one of the driving factors which pushed me to pushing for a PDDRP, for a registry operator that does something like that. So I fundamentally don't see a massive difference here to a registry operator that allows 25% of its domain names to be malicious and feeding off people and making money from people to refund such registrations, etc. And a similar situation. I don't see a fundamental difference. I don't want to be prescriptive and get caught up by language where we've said something, where we're saying we need to do this, we need to do that. I think a group can get together and find a similar way of doing this, and it's probably not us at this point.
Many of these DNS abuse situations are complicated and can involve trademark and involve so many other things while involving the abuse that's currently in contracts and everything. So there's certainly potentially going to be situations in which ICANN compliance would refer something to a DADRP, or for which perhaps by design a DADRP would be created to hear. I think though with the current language proposed, I don't see that where we've gotten with this consensus language is incompatible for either of your views as to where the community might land and how this is established. I do not think anything in our recommendation creates a situation in which anything's going to be done just on the fly and without any sort of procedure. So I guess right now we need to decide, do we want to keep language at the end of this paragraph, which is not necessary for just the proposal of a DADRP to be considered. We're already doing that. But this, like I said, should be a guide to those considering our recommendation. With Jordan's two sentences, David, do you have any suggested modifications to those? Are you happy with that? What are your thoughts on that?
I'm happy with the last sentence. Alternatively, it may be useful for compliance to be able to refer a case to DADRP. I think that's specifying what we thought and what was part of the thinking and the DADRP and the recommendation 15. So I think that's good to specify that. And I just feel I'm a little bit tied up in knots with the community, because the community determines it is ill-suited or unable. I'm not sure how the community determines that ICANN compliance is ill-suited or unable. And I just think that I have a problem with that. I'm struggling. I don't know how to word it. I think it should be less specific, and it's just, so maybe we should simplify such procedure. I'm just thinking out loud now. Could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint. I just think to DNS security abuse, or they are ill-suited or unable to do so. I just, that seems, we don't go into the meaning. That covers what Jordan wants. It's open. It's not prescriptive.
It doesn't cover the or. So. Like, literally, that just takes us back to where we started.
Yeah, I know. I feel it's too prescriptive. When we say the community should determine that ICANN compliance is ill-suited or unable to do something. I don't get that. I'm struggling.
I mean, the idea is there is not to determine it on the fly, is that we decide, oh, these are complicated technical matters. ICANN compliance isn't the best body for it. Let's set up a DADRP instead. Right? But the idea is not that, like, for an individual complaint, the community decides. The community decides in advance that either compliance or the DRP or some combination of the two is the right forum to resolve these things. That's why, I mean, this is, to your point, David, like this language about the community deciding twice before.
I think your wording there works, or some combination of the two. Then one's not preempting the other. I think that works. Because
David, do you want to?
Or ICANN compliance, or some combination of the two, decide that it's ill suited or unable to. But again, we're getting complicated on the language, but that captures it then.
So this is Jamie.
Yeah, I think just keeping the language as simple as possible. Oh, yeah, Jamie, sorry, I didn't see your hand.
Yeah, go ahead, Jamie.
Oh, you didn't have a hand. So you're just jumping into the queue. Okay. Go ahead.
I can go back in and put my hand up if that will make you feel better. I'm confused. Are we asking the community in its comments on the report to say yes, the DRP is justified because compliance will not be always, you know, will not may in some instances be ill suited, whatever, to handle individual complaints? And therefore, a complainant can request a DRP, or a compliant can refer a complaint to a DRP. Or are you saying, because I don't think it's really clear, at least not to me, that in every instance in which there is a complaint and the complainant wants it to go to a DRP, that the community has to weigh in as to whether or not compliance is ill-suited to handle it itself?
Yeah, so Jamie, I just tried to clarify that. It's the intent of the language is the former, not the latter. It is not that the community should decide in each instance, but that, like, so just to, like, backtrack as to where this conversation comes from. Last time we talked about this, I think we all agreed that there should be language, contractual provisions to require registries and registrars to deal with systemic abuse, right? So we're all on the same page. And then there was some debate about whether a DADRP was necessary or not. And, you know, Jamie pointed out that there were some scenarios today where the community has decided that there's alternative dispute resolution procedures are appropriate in order to enforce particular parts of the contract, which is fine, which I think is totally fine, right? And so the idea is that we recommend that there needs to be language to deal with systemic abuse. And then during the implementation of that language, then the community decides, like, oh, what's the best place? If there is systemic abuse, who should take a look at that to decide whether or not the registries or registrars are actually, like, dealing with it appropriately? And it could be that the answer is compliance. It could be the answer is DADRP. It could be it's, like, a complicated procedure like PICDRP where it's a combination of the two. All that's fine to me, but, like, I just, like, David keeps saying something that, like, freaks me out, and I just don't want that to be captured in this language, which is, like, oh, look, we agreed on this contract. I don't like the results of the contract, and therefore there should be a DRP that allows people to go back and say, like, oh, the contract sucks, but I'm going to take away a registry's accreditation anyways because I disagree with the contract. Like, I disagree with that premise that there should be some way for third parties to take away an accreditation based on something that's not in the contract. I'm totally, totally fine with us all agreeing that we need to deal with systemic abuse in the contract and then letting the community decide however it wants to what the right enforcement mechanism for that provision is, whether it's a DRP or compliance or some combination of the two. That's fine. It's just like the, oh, I see these situations where the contract didn't work. I want a way for us to be able to second-guess the contract. That is terrifying to me, and I think it would be to all contracted parties.
Jamie, did you have a response to that?
Yeah, yes, and I even raised my hand because I wanted to make
okay.
It happen.
Okay, so then Jamie, go ahead. And then I, after you, or while you're talking, I see that David has pasted new text in the chat.
So I agree 100% with Jordan. And this goes back to the original thing, the problem, which was that, you know, the DRP is only enforces the, I mean, is limited to enforcing the contract that the compliance is limited to enforcing. And if we beef up that contract with additional provisions, that doesn't give that, you know, that means that both compliance and the DRP have expanded authorities that they did not have before, but it doesn't mean that they get that the DRP goes beyond the contract, because that would be just unsupportable in the whole structure of ICANN, the multi-stakeholder model. But from an implementation perspective, again, it would be helpful, I think, for the organization to understand that if the community adopts a DRP, what has to happen for someone to invoke it? Is it enough, as it is, I think, under the PIC DRP for the complainant to say, hey, I want this to go to before a panel, or enough for just compliance on it, because it's Thursday, it wants to refer it to a panel? Or is there some condition that has to be satisfied first, and then who is the arbiter of whether or not that condition has been met? Thanks.
Thank you, Jamie. So, everyone, David has pasted new language in. So, with regard to Jordan's comments and Jamie's comments, this seems to still work with this notion that whatever this process is going to be by which a DADRP would be used would be established in advance by the community. Even if there are exclusive ways in which a case gets to a DADRP or hybrid ways where it's referred by ICANN compliance, whatever that is, I think that this proposed guiding language, like with Jordan's last iteration of it, I think is compatible with the comments said. So I would encourage everyone to chime in on the latest language. So we can see if we can adopt that today, maybe. And I'll read it for in case anyone's listening by phone. Let me get it. Okay, so this latest language slightly modifies Jordan's language and reads, such a procedure could apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse, is ill-suited or unable to do so, and the registry operators or registrars are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. The next sentence reads, it may be useful for compliance to be able to refer a case to the DADRP. And we just need to grammatically clean that up slightly. But let's see, Jordan has proposed something. And then Jordan has now, for those of you listening along instead of reading along, Jordan has proposed the community may create such a procedure if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve complaints related to DNS security abuse, is ill-suited or unable to do so, and the registry operators or registrars are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. It may be useful for compliance to be able to refer a case to the DADRP. So, David, did you want to chime in on your proposal and Jordan's proposal? And then, Jordan, do you want to chime in? I think we're getting somewhere.
I'm glad you do.
Yeah, I mean, I was just trying to I was just trying to clarify that, like, it's that the community would create this process in advance, right? Not that, like, each individual complaint would be. So, to Jamie's point, we're not trying to say, like, you're going to resolve individual complaints like this, just that, like, the community is going to figure out, like, oh, we think abuse, like, we think these sorts of things should go through compliance, these things should go through DRP, who's going to decide that? Like, that's all we're saying here is, like, this is an option in order to enforce this new provision that we're proposing in the contract. Not like the problem I have with David's warning, since it talks about a complaint, is it sounds like each individual complaint you would go through this calculus as opposed to just sort of deciding in advance what the right procedure would be.
So do we have David? So do we have consensus on this latest version of the text, the last one in the chat?
I'm uncomfortable with it still because I just think it means the community may create such a procedure. So the community, effectively the contracted parties vote and say, well, we don't think it's necessary and it dies, which it will. Let's not kid ourselves.
Well,
that's
okay,
where the votes go. So.
Yeah, but I mean, either way, the procedure would have to be created with whatever our recommendation is. So I mean, what's the alternative?
Now that we've
narrowed down the rest of the language in that.
Yeah, this is going down a slightly different wording where the community may create such a procedure. So the community, if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve complaints, but we're deciding, and as Jordan said, we've all agreed that ICANN compliance is the right body to resolve complaints. So therefore, we need no DADRP. So we just stop it. That's what you're wanting. That's what you've said.
So I totally don't agree with that.
I've said numerous times
it is totally fine with me if we decide that compliance is not the right body. Like, I just totally don't agree with that. If the idea here is we can't adopt anything that requires the community to take action because registries and registrars are going to kill it, then we might as well just not pass our report, right? Because all of this needs to go through the community. We don't get to unilaterally decide to do anything.
Oh, I know we're certainly not unilaterally deciding to do everything, but I've had that comment several times now that the CCT review team report means diddly squat. Which is very frustrating when people say that to you and you spent 2.5 years. But there you go. So I do question whether it's of any value.
Okay. So, with this language, we're already making the recommendation for the DADRP to be considered, because earlier in the paragraph, in the language we have consensus on, we say, however, in addition, a specific DADRP should be considered to the extent the community concludes that ICANN compliance may be unable or ill-suited to deal with certain situations related to abuse. If I'm looking at the most recent version from the email, is that the older one?
I was just to say that I'm just reading Jamie's comment, Jamie, where you've said maybe add to Jordan's phrasing, the community would determine the conditions.
under which a complainant can invoke a DRP. Yes, I agree with that.
Okay, so we already in our recommendation, now I'm reading the current version. I think I actually still was before. I was just reading down in detail. So our current version, in the recommendation part itself, we still already make this recommendation that a DADRP should be considered. So that's there already as part of the recommendation, with all the caveats that come with that, with our recommendation for that. So really, with this sentence here, this is in the details. And like I was saying before, it really comes down to how we're guiding those who will create this mechanism into creating it. And so if we provide no details, then we risk that they don't understand where we thought it could be used. So therefore, for these final sentences, I don't see how it changes anything whether we mention the community or don't mention the community, because the community is still going to have to create this. So really it should be, we should be focusing on where we think that this would be useful, and whether that the latest version of the language, whether we say such a procedure or we say the community may create, I really don't think it matters one way or another. The community is creating it regardless of which of those we have. But is the rest, so is the rest of the sentence correct? And then we can dispute how to open whether we have the preface the community may create. But either way, do we have consensus now on the latest version of such a procedure could apply if?
So
I think there's a cue. So, I'll just add through that there is a difference in the language between what David proposed and what I did, which is mine is plural and his is singular. And the point is just to say that it's like the procedure should apply to all cases, not just be like a random decide on the fly, right? Like that's what I'm trying to get at. Is there should be an established procedure in advance, not on the fly, deciding whether or not to use the ADRP or the prompt or an agree to prompt procedure.
Right. And then just to clarify, since I was reading it in the text, your language is exactly the same as his previous language, except for that, except for making it plural. Because of the purpose you're saying, to make sure we're being clear that this is a process and a procedure that applies to all cases. But is that the only edit you made?
Exactly.
Okay, thank you.
I mean, there's the community thing that you mentioned. Yeah, it's still later.
Oh, yeah, okay. And then, yeah, so sorry. So in that latest version, Jordan, the only thing you added was that preface the community may create. Is that correct?
And then made it plural. Those are the two.
And then made it plural. Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, so then Jamie and then Laureen.
Sorry, that's an old hand.
Perfect. I like old hands because they go down quickly. All right, Laureen.
First of all, I missed most of the call because I was on another ICANN call, so apologies if I'm asking what sound like silly questions. But I just want to get my brain around this structurally so I can perhaps offer some input. What we're basically recommending here, in addition to possible contract changes to deal with this level of systematic abuse, is a parallel or alternative. I won't say parallel, that sounds wrong. An alternative procedure, which is this I'm getting the acronyms wrong, but this alternative procedure where if compliance is not the right body to address this issue of systemic abuse, there's this parallel procedure to deal with it. That's basically what this recommendation is saying, and then the debate here is whether how to put that into effect. I just want to make sure I'm coming at this from the right perspective.
Sure. Yeah, great question. So basically where we are is we seem to, and I say seem to because we have not taken a vote as a full group with all of our members on the call. So based on the chats and the dialogue so far, we seem to have consensus over just about this entire recommendation, except for two sentences now. And these, so we are recommending that contractual language be strengthened, that ICANN compliance be empowered to deal with this situation. We're also recommending that the community consider a DADRP, which may be used in addition or sometimes instead of ICANN compliance, but only as part of an overall process that's created by the community as to when and where that happens. And the language we're providing now and that we're debating is basically kind of our way of guiding those who will consider this recommendation and how to create a DADRP. So a DADRP, as we've discussed on this call, would potentially be used in a situation in which ICANN compliance is not the right body because maybe it's a highly technical complaint. Maybe it's a complaint that in addition to involving DNS abuse involves other things that ICANN compliance generally does not consider. There's hypotheticals, but what we agree is there's potentially unknown future situations where a DADRP could be useful, and there could even be situations in which ICANN compliance would refer a matter to a DADRP. In addition to that, there is, of course, this notion, and this is where there's tons of controversy, but just to say where what things that have been discussed, that ICANN compliance may not be right because they're just not dealing with it or something like that. But at the end of the day, since a DADRP would have to be grounded in some sort of actual legal language that would bring it to fruition, you know, maybe when the community adopts it, they would consider those circumstances. So as a kind of as a guidance to them, we already have, you know, advice about you considering a DADRP where ICANN compliance may be unable or, quote, ill-suited to deal with certain situations. So that's really where we're at. And so all we're considering are the final sentence originally, but now potentially two sentences at the end of the paragraph. And let me, I'll scroll to that sentence for you, Laureen, and the, maybe Jean-Baptiste is more organized than me. Maybe he.
Oh. Good. Yeah, because I'm scrolling down on my phone.
Okay. But that's where we're basically down to. And so where there's also disagreement is whether or not our language sufficiently clarifies that this would have to be something established as a process and procedure, or whether the language in fact, implies something else that there can be form shopping every time or something, and so that's part of where we're at. But the reality is that you know, our paragraph as a whole already encourages the community to consider a DADRP. We even already draw the analogy to a trademark TDDRP. So this final language is really about saying where such a procedure could apply. And that's what we're down to, and we're so close. So Jordan's final version of his language and David's final version of his language are nearly identical, but not identical, and that's where we're at. And so Jordan, did you want to chime in before you jump off, since you're jumping off in a minute?
But essentially this is like a parallel or supplementary procedure.
Yeah. So basically, where we're at.
No, I don't.
I was just gonna say wouldn't be fully parallel. You can forum shop, but it would be supplementary in whichever way it was established. Where in some ways, the DADRP would be the better form, and some ICANN compliance would refer to the DADRP. Jordan, did you want to say anything? I know you have to jump off.
Yeah, I mean, I think you said exactly right. It's not parallel. It's a, if the community, like, it's just like, I think we all agreed last time we talked about this, that there may be circumstances in which ICANN's not the right body to adjudicate these disputes because they're technical or, you know, they're super technical. They require domain expertise. Jamie's to be like, whatever it is, right? Like, ICANN's not the right forum. In which case, it's totally fine for the community to decide there should be this alternative dispute resolution procedure. And there could even be like a two-stage process like DRP where compliance looks at it first, and then it goes to this other panel.
But it's the parallel thing that you mentioned, Lauren, which is exactly what I think I'm at least worried about. There shouldn't be like I'm not happy with the outcome of pass number one, therefore I get to go like complain about it and do a second bite at the apple.
Right. So it's either or. You can't do both.
But either or and decided in advance by the.
Right. Okay.
I mean, it could be both in the same way that the PICDRP has like it has things that compliance does and it has things that the PICDRP provider does.
Yeah.
But it's decided that procedure is defined in advance to sort of go to ICANN and then be like, oh, I didn't like your decision, ICANN. Now I'm going to do it through the third party instead.
And you could envision this being, after it's created, being used in a situation in which, kind of like what we see in the DNS abuse study, there's a bunch of trademark infringement being used to perpetuate DNS abuse and phishing, and it's something that's complicated where there's elements that, you know, like trademark where ICANN normally wouldn't consider that, and then there's all this DNS security abuse, which ICANN compliance with the adoption of our recommendation would be considering, but maybe because it's this complicated matter that involves both, a DADRP would be better suited. There could be situations like that, for example. And so,
what's the proposal on the table then?
Yeah, so the proposal on the table is just dealing with what we substitute for the final sentence in the paragraph of the details for this recommendation. And so David's and Jordan's are very similar, but distinct enough that we're still trying to figure out where we're going to land. So I will paste the two in the chat. You can read, Laureen?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, David.
I'm going to paste this to you.
Could we maybe get them out of the chat and onto the screen? Because it's quite hard to see them in
the chat. Okay, yeah.
See them on the main screen.
Let me get them to Jean-Baptiste. Yeah, will do. Thank you, Jean-Baptiste.
Thanks, too.
All right, Jordan. Sorry you have to jump off. You'll see... The update from this call via email, or I can even email you right after this call to update you.
Sorry, you had just got kicked out of BConnect. Getting back in. Okay, there we go. Can you see? Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Yes, so, Laureen, you can see the two versions. The key distinctions of these two versions is that one speaks in singular, the other speaks in plural. And the one that speaks in plural begins with the preface, the community may create such a procedure, whereas the other does not. And so the purported intention of turning it to of using plural for the second one was to make clearer that this is intended to be part of an overall process and not a one-off sort of thing where each person complains to compliance and then
you know, it's decided there if ICANN compliance is ill-suited, whereas either way, though, regardless of which of these two languages is ultimately adopted, of course, a procedure has to be created for this whole entire thing anyway.
And what, David, what's your view with the differences between these two?
Well, I think we do have a difference of opinion on when this could be kicked in and when it could operate. On the part of the call which you missed, you know, I look at this as a way where, for instance, the registrar's representation agreement, and there's a section in there which we come across all the time, 318.1, which is the contractually negotiated arrangement where the registrar is obliged to take reasonable and prompt steps to investigate and respond appropriately to any reports of abuse. That's what they do. ICANN compliance will go in. And we've had issues, many issues, where the registrar does look and does respond and says, we're not going to do anything. And so nothing can be done. And those ones where I have the issue is not where it's trademark infringement, because when it's trademark infringement, I can go off to the UDRP. And if the registry is part of it, I can go off and do a PDDRP. But on something like that, there's no way of doing anything else. So, yes, in the DADRP, I was certainly heading to the idea that something goes wrong. We have a similar clause that a registry shall take reasonable and prompt steps to investigate and respond appropriately to any reports of technical DNS abuse. And that's what gets in the agreement in 3 years' time. And we end up with exactly the same situation today where the registry replies and says, yeah, we've looked at it. We'll get rid of it. Don't worry. And nothing happens. And there was a very specific thing when we, in the recommendation D, when it was separate, one that it would be a staged process, that it wouldn't kick in immediately. It would kick in when ICANN compliance had looked at it and if ICANN compliance was unable to do anything. So there it comes down to, for instance, what is an appropriate response? So ICANN compliance may decide, well, an appropriate response is not an out of office, but it is a promise to do something in a certain amount of time. And I think it comes down to reasonableness, because a registrar has to take reasonable steps. So who defines that? And I think it could be very helpful for ICANN compliance that a third-party DADRP panelist, expert, arbitrator says, well, reasonable is a month or 6 months or a year, or there's some sort of decision which enables ICANN compliance to be able to say, well, here's a DADRP that decided that reasonableness in the context of DNS abuse is actually 2 weeks and not 2 years, something like that. So, yes, I'm trying to capture that the community can go down that route should it so wish and try and get something like that included and not necessarily being something where it's an either-or that we say, well, the community thinks that the ICANN compliance is the appropriate entity to do this and there should not be a DADRP.
So
I think that they go very different directions. So.
Yeah. The second paragraph seems a little contingent to me. And so it doesn't strike me as strong, because it just sounds a little wishy-washy to me, even though I understand the reality of the fact that the community needs to buy into this. But the first paragraph seems stronger because it might be stronger still if we changed could to would. Such a procedure would apply, because as I understand it, you want to make sure that there is this, I'll say, a backup procedure when it's not suited for whatever reason for ICANN compliance and you still have this systemic problem. That's why you want the DADRP in the first place, as I'm understanding it from our prior conversations and this one.
Yeah, and I'd agree wholeheartedly with that, with a could to a would. I haven't gone there because we're having such difficulty on it. But yeah, that makes sense to me. And I do think if we read the rest of the recommendation, which you may not have, I don't know whether you've had a chance to read it.
Yeah,
we do talk
no,
about
I did read the rest.
Elsewhere. So, you know, we do have that in. Those are Jordan's other modifications, which I was okay with. It was just this last one, which I'm struggling with, because I think it takes us down a different path.
So my suggestion then would be my vote would be for the first wording and having that as a would, because as I understand the whole intent here, it's to have a backup procedure to deal with this issue of systemic abuse in the event that for some reason ICANN compliance is not the right body to deal with it.
Yeah, and I think, and just one more thing on that, which may help, I don't know what it does, is that there was discussion in the chat about whether or not we would have, and I think this is Jamie, I don't know if Jamie's still on the call, about the determining the conditions under which a complainant can invoke a DRP. So I wouldn't mind finishing off that recommendation, the top one there where we end up with, we talk about ICANN compliance can initiate or pass to a DADRP, but we could have the community should determine the conditions under which a complainant can invoke a DRP, a DADRP. I'm happy with that to be added into number one if that helps people on the call.
Sorry, this is Jamie. Would you add that in?
Sorry, Jamie, I missed that. I didn't hear what you said. Sorry.
I was just going to say I'm also happy for symmetrical treatment of ICANN compliance ability to refer something if you want to throw that to the community's development of the procedure. That's okay, too. It doesn't have to be established ahead of time.
I'll just put that wording in the chat if you want, then that helps.
Okay, so David, with this, where would we put this sentence?
I mean, just at the end, it may be useful. So we've got such a procedure would apply if ICANN compliance were not the right body to resolve a complaint related to DNS security abuse, is ill-suited or unable to do so, and the registry operators, registrars are identified as having excessive levels of abuse. It may be useful for compliance, probably the capital C, I don't know, to be able to refer a case to the DADRP, and then the community should determine the conditions under which a complainant can invoke the DADRP.
Okay, so then
our paragraph as a whole now
makes the suggestion that a DADRP should be considered. Then we go into the details of what we intend with that consideration of a DADRP, and then in the end we state what we all ultimately agree is that it's up to the community to determine the conditions for this. So I think that's good. So why don't we go ahead and we'll, on this call, is there anyone who disagrees with this new compromised version of paragraph one, which seems to, but we cannot guarantee because Jordan is not on the call, seems to hopefully take into account Jordan's view on this and be compromised language that will work. Are there any objections to modified paragraph one? Okay, no objections to this. So then we will want to Jean-Baptiste will want to incorporate this modified paragraph into our final text for this recommendation and then see if we have any objections to this modified full recommendation text that we'll send out to the group so that those who are not on the call, including Jordan, can consider it. And Calvin already had a drop off, I think, too.
And also accepting all of Jordan's other suggestions higher up, those are all fine on the recommendation.
Right. Okay, so hopefully, fingers crossed, we now have final consensus on something that seemed impossible a month ago and completely impossible 6 months ago. And we have a very good, strong recommendation based off of our analysis of all the DNS abuse data. And hopefully it's something that can make a positive impact. Thank you so much, David, for all of your hard work on this and figuring out ways to reach consensus. So fingers crossed, we still need to send it out to the whole group, see if there are any objections, but we will get that sent out today and have a very short timeline for objections. So if anyone has objections, we'll want those, I guess, by what's today? Today's Wednesday, so by Friday, we'll want any objections to those. And then we will need to have this call run a few minutes late because we have some other minor business. Jean-Baptiste, do you want to chime in on where we're at with regard to everything else? I know that was the major thing, so I'm really glad we spent the call working on that.
Yes, thank you very much, Drew, and that was a great discussion. So the only remaining action items that are contained in the report and I believe will be a quick review. First one, David, on the last plenary call, there was this update that was made under the executive summary. And we just wanted to know whether you had any issue with that new text.
I'll try and read it. I've been so focused on this recommendation, I hadn't looked at that. So I'll try and have a look at it later tonight, or tomorrow morning, first thing.
Can't you look at it now so that it's...
I can, but I've got a call in 1 minute. So put it up on the screen if you want. Is it in there? Is this...
Yeah, it's on screen, yeah.
Okay, got it. I can see it. Furthermore, the service just at the same time, some industries. Trust test whether this from buses, David to review updates paragraphs. Is it just the addition in the pink here, yeah?
Yeah.
Yep, good with that.
Okay, thank you. Adding to that, there was another one, so this was discussed today, and here there was a minor edit from Jamie on this sentence, replacing fairly substantial with anecdotal.
Is this just on the INCA, or is this in the less fairly substantial...
My reading of it was based on the INTA survey.
Yeah, I think so. So for can't remember now. I can't remember why I put fairly substantial. I do remember looking at this, and I remember having substantial in at one point in an earlier draft, and then changed it to fairly substantial to take it a little bit away. Anecdotal seems a little bit too less because. From my reading, when I went through it, it was pretty clear that of the brand owners who were complaining, that they pretty much everyone is a reluctant purchaser of Sunrise registrations.
Why don't you say evidence and not characterize it?
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Evidence that brand owners, yeah. Good with that, Jamie? I'm happy with that. Taking both out. Good old Lorreen. Hey, glad you're on the call, Lorreen.
Yeah, you know me, moving the ball forward at every opportunity.
What about me, David?
Yeah, you always are as well. I know. But you're always on the call. Noreen just comes in like a, you know, rides in on a white horse halfway through and says, just remind me where we are on this. Before I opine. Whereas we're stuck in the trenches, Jamie, throwing mud at each other and ducking and hoping that some sticks on Drew. You know, that's the way it is.
Am I be white too?
David? David, and this is the last one, so this is the details of recommendation 29. Oh, great, my screen is... Okay, where you had written under the details, there appears to be considerable discussion on whether the TMCH should be expanded beyond applying to only identical matches and if it should be extended to include mark plus keyword or common typographical errors of the mark in question. Do you have more details on the term you are using, considerable discussion?
Yeah, it's something which has been discussed many, many times. It's just something which we know is discussed. I see it come up all the time, whether it should be expanded or not. And that's something which Deloitte did for their services as well. They expanded it at one point. And I think there the point was, I wasn't saying whether it should be expanded or not. I wanted to make sure that the point of it was if there is an extension, if an extension is considered valuable, then the basis of that needs to be clear because there's so much discussion. So I do think there's a lot of discussion on it, but I think it needs to be clear if there is any extension. That's really what I'm saying. So I'm not saying we should extend it for sure.
Would it be possible to provide a reference on this discussion?
I'd just start going through emails and searching Trademark Clearinghouse and find hundreds of thousands of emails and drill down. I don't know whether there is a reference to that. Maybe in the Trademark Clearinghouse, one of the reports, there's been mention of it. It's been requested as well, the Trademark Clearinghouse Plus 50. There's a whole thing on that was discussed years ago. Isn't it in place now? I think there is something. Isn't that in place with Plus 50? I can't remember. I think something's been put in place. So is it Deloitte that's done that? So I'm going to go into Google now and see. I'm sure Deloitte put something into place. Here you go. Trademark Clearinghouse, how to use it effectively. I'm just looking there. This is just in Google. Good old Google. Does that have it in there? No. I think you can choose. Have you got a list of up to 50 abused brand plus terms? See, there's the plus 50. So there's... Clearinghouse plus something. I haven't gone into that for so many years. It's just all a bit fudgy for me. But that's 2013. So I think here's another one. Trademark Clearinghouse on the ICANN wiki. How's that for reference? Limited number up to 50 of these may be added to a clearinghouse record. It's something which has been discussed at many. Many times over. And I wouldn't know where. Can't see it in there.
I mean, David, while you look at that, if you could provide the reference in the chat, and I'll be happy to add it.
Okay.
I'll
try and find something. Yeah.
If you can just place that in the chat while we continue. And I believe, so this was the last open action item in the report. So I'll just go back to the slides. All right. So, were there any other comments or edits objections to the final report that was shared earlier today. Okay. Hearing none, after this call, we will recirculate an updated version of the report, including the new language recommendation 15. We'll also change the text on the action items that we have just discussed with David. And so the review team will have until next, so this Friday, which will be Friday the 7th, to raise any final objections, and the leadership will approve the final report and send it to the board. And what happens after that is that some of you will be implementation agents. So basically what it says, if I just quote your terms of reference, CCT members may be called upon for feedback on the recommendations after implementation has begun. Members may wish to remain available for such post-CCT discussions. And on that, CCT leaders had volunteered to be the implementation agents. Any concerns on that? Hearing no concerns, moving on with the next steps. So as just mentioned, 7th of September at 23rd, 59 UTC is the deadline for any final objections and dissent reports, if any, to be submitted on list. And the leadership will approve the final report for board submission. And thank you, David. I just saw your reference. Is there any other business? If none, thank you.
No, Jean-Baptiste, yeah. Is this our final call?
Yes, I believe so.
Oh!
Wow. Wow, everyone.
No, you don't.
Get off.
Hang on, Jean-Baptiste, we should just clarify that. You said you said you think so, or do you say you hope so?
I think so.
Jean-Baptiste is going to have an existentialist crisis if this ends. He'll have nothing to live for.
I think there'll be a few tasks to fill the void.
And I just wanted to add a thank you very much, Drew, for our sharing this last call.
And
absolutely.
I wanted to add a big thank you to all our team members, both on the call and out in the world, for all their hard work, everyone's flexibility and willingness to exchange ideas and listen to each other, and last but certainly not least, the fabulous support staff who has unfailingly and tirelessly guided us through this process.
Yeah, thank you so much. We obviously would not have been able to do anything without you guys. So we know that at times it's been easier to move us along than at other times, but thank you so much, because I know that particularly in the beginning we had a lot of studies to commission and everything else, and you guys have just been wonderful in ensuring that we have the resources we needed to accomplish this work. So thank you so much.
And, of course, a huge thanks to our fearless leader, who was also endlessly patient in moving us towards the finish line.
I think the fearless leader had fear instilled in him and left. I don't see him on the call anymore.
No, he has left.
Well, when he goes back and listens to the call, as I have no doubt that he will, he'll hear us.
Absolutely. All right, well, thank you so much. So, Jean-Baptiste, do you need anything from us right now as far as the follow-up email you'll send with the updated language for the one recommendation that still needs, where we still need to see if there are any objections?
No, at this stage, I think I have everything to update the final report and share it with you.
Okay, and then I don't know if you've seen in the chat, but David has pasted a citation, I think, that perhaps could be used.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much.
For that. Thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Right, thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you.